Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Chips and Bits podcast. I am your host, Kenny Myers, and with me always is
Matthew Anderson.
Yes, and thank you for listening. Make sure you like and push buttons and like and subscribe on the tubes or Spotify or do whatever you need to do to make us live our dreams of talking about video games for the rest of our life. Today we have a very special day, and I really want to get into it because it's a sequel to a game that we both really loved, and I think was we were like, this is a near perfect game. I can't wait for the sequel to be the perfect game. And let me do a little theme song here, and then we'll get to it. Hello again. It's me on the other side of the theme song. Previously introduced as Kenny Myers. Today we are talking about, I want to be clear, this is how this is in all their material, Star Wars Jedi, Survivor. That is Star Wars Jedi, Survivor. So another colon game in our league of colon games as we deal with, apparently everyone's inability to use the number two. Matt,
I feel like there should be a humble bundle of just colon games at this point.
Yeah. Just specifically colon games, which, I mean, that's pretty much most of a Steam sale considering how many colon games there are. My favorite are just like, as a little offshoot, like brand new games that like don't even have like an identity whatsoever. They're like the Flare of Flabibius, you know, the end of the Arcane Age. And you're like, what is the Flare of Flabibius? You're like, there's no context for like to, like if you have a property like Star Wars, it makes sense that you could use a colon because I know what this is generally, but. Even to their point, it's like Star Wars Jedi colon, and like you're like, yeah, I understand Star Wars Jedi as a phrase. So anyway, that's pretty much it. It's my colon rant. Thanks for listening. Should I start the theme song again?
No, let's just switch into Star Wars Jedi Survivor rant.
Okay, well, Matt said he had one note for this game under his Chips and Bits note folder, which I'm very excited to hear. Let's go. Matt, lay it on me.
Okay, well, I'll read you word for word the singular note that I had when I pulled up my notes. And keep in mind, it was ages ago that I played this game.
Yeah.
Can you finish it recently? I just finished it
yesterday.
After all of the bugs had been patched and it runs as smooth as it could possibly run, Kenny played it. But I played it, I don't know, 2 years ago, I feel like, at this point. It's been forever ago.
It is.
Here is my one note. Hair and beard? Ugh. Which really reminded me how stupid the costume, face, and beard and hair customization mechanic was in this game that already didn't need any more things added to it to make it any worse than it was to play. It's very difficult for me to jump right into solid opinions, but like overwhelmingly, I would just like a singular sentence. This game fucking sucks. I hated this game so much. It's just so bad. I mean, nothing can save this game.
So
nothing.
I think the game is bad.
It is.
But I think the core story and the like character pieces of this game and some of the ideas are very good.
The story is pretty good in this game. It's quite compelling, especially when built like layered on top of the story that they started in the first one. Like I felt like the continuation of the arc was really, really solid.
The voice acting and the dialogue was really well written, I thought.
Yeah, the voice acting is quite good. Especially the lead again.
He just kills it.
So good.
Cal Kestis.
The newness of the BD1 robot relationship thing did fade a little bit in this one. They kind of leaned a little too heavily into just thinking that that would still be as cool as it was in the first game. I didn't think it was. But yeah,
well, all those droids just become dogs. Eventually, yeah. they essentially just like, they all just become dogs eventually. Mm-hmm. The tiny droids that can't speak, they're just dogs.
But yeah, everything that I could put on a list or that we can talk about for the remainder of this podcast and discuss its merits and how good it was. First of all, I don't think anything in this game is great, which is a big problem when you have lots and lots of good stuff and every single thing I'd put on my good list is just dragged all the way down sloggy and annoyingly into this disgusting mud of annoyance and performance and bugs and just like drain that this game is.
I want to interject because I think you made a point that I don't want to lose, which is that I did play it 2 years after patches. Like, this is essentially the last patched version of the game, as far as my understanding. They haven't done any other updates, but it was not great. It was technically, really bad. Like, I have a system that can run, like, I can certainly see how, like, very aggressive, like Cyberpunk, right? I can't run it with like full RTX rendering and not use and like at native 4K without any sort of upscaling, or it's like it's 30 frames per second, right? But it's still 30 frames per second in full native RTX, which is crazy. And then this game, I like enabled everything, and for the smallest pieces, I literally could not get any it constantly chugged. Pop-in was crazy bad, and then like every time I turned, which is of course required in video games, white blips would appear on the screen that constantly distracted me, which sucks because there were some truly genuinely beautiful work in this game, and the game engine on PC, which is what I think we both played it on, was just so bad.
Like, absolute garbage.
It was just garbage. And, like, even after 3 years of patches, because Matt played it, like, a year, like, months after it released.
It came out in April of 2023, and I played it pretty shortly
that fall, right? I think you played it that fall.
It was end of the summer. Yeah, end of the summer I played it.
And so they had time to do, like, normal patches at that point.
It was definitely emergency patches for things like entire textures of the sides
of buildings. But enough to make like their first or big or second performance patch. And it was, there were so many cool things in this game that it was so upsetting that this was, I think the last game where I had that kind of experience was XCOM first, like third person game. Where the bugs were just Bureau. Yeah. But even that seemed to run more stable than this game, which is crazy. You and I have very high powered machines, like more high powered than most people have. I literally have, you know, until recently, the most powerful GPU you could have in a machine, and I see the power bill every month, and I'm sorry for the environment that I had to waste rendering this game. But if you're running around an environment with like even upscaling turned on, RTX turned off, like I turned off everything, I could still not get a steady frame rate in the hub world, the place you're supposed to be constantly. And it's so annoying. Like I don't remember having these performance issues in the first game at all. Like, we never talked about
this
at all.
There was like a light bit of timing when it came to like,
I don't think we ever really talk about performance issues much because it's never really an issue. Sometimes they're skipping and stuff, and that will stop us from playing, right? The texture loading in, but generally the game
has to be prolific for us to even mention, like, we'll just be like, yeah, you know, suffered from some performance issues, blah, blah, blah.
And we're like empathetic to that because we build software professionally. We know that games are like significant. Oh, why can't I say this? What is the word? Like the challenge is way more significant.
Economies
than
Economies of scale. Is that what you're looking for?
No.
Oh, okay.
The volume of work and stuff to work on this stuff is so high, like beyond even what we're doing. It's just always impressive that any game launches ever. But when you have this many resources and a game engine that's already been put out and tested and you release it in this state It's really bad. Like, it's so bad that we have to talk about it. And we loved the first game so much. And we were like, and yeah, it had its imperfections. The map was horrible. The map is mm-hmm. still horrible for different mm-hmm. reasons.
Yeah.
And there's so many different pieces to it. Like one of the things we complained about in the first game was you go and you find these chests and the only thing you get are customization unlocks. And we're like, we hope they fix this. They did not fix it. They doubled fucking down.
Oh man, they quadrupled down.
Yeah.
Now you can find sideburns in your chests.
Yeah. Or like color. And you're just like, I don't give a shit about, like, give me a power up, like
right.
increase my, they, to their credit, they did add power up system like that you could discover mm-hmm. in the same way, but they kept their shitty treasure. I'm so tired of customization, hidden treasure chests. Like,
yeah, that's bad.
It's just the worst. Like, just create an online store and let people pay for it and let me ignore it. That's what I want. Like, yeah. You want to customize your Jedi here, throw $20 at EA and let it go crazy. Or just like at the beginning, like it's so frustrating how stupid that system is and how much I don't want it in the game and how they've doubled down on it. And while it was funny to have a mullet and a goatee and a soul patch for a moment in time, it just like takes you out of like a very specific character. I don't know. I mean, I guess, well, you could do that to a lot of
when it's story or character driven, and it doesn't pertain to your powers at all, right? Like, there's even an argument there in one of the best games, the most recent God of War, you know, customization with, you know, there's a lot of customization, but at least it gives you powers.
Which we didn't like either.
Yeah. But in this, it's like, it literally just gives you sideburns. And, you know, it's a character driven story at its core. So changing the way I look throughout that, not in a meaningful way, like age or stress or something, just doesn't follow with the world building that's going on around you. It just takes you out of it. But yeah, I think you hit on a couple of things, and two that I think are really important. One, yes, we recognize the difficulty in the things that we were talking about, which makes it kind of extra painful that it invokes such a response. But yeah, the two things that bothered me the most are, one, as you alluded to, this had a game before it, and that game had its, you know, blemishes, and it, you know, but it had an engine and a world, and the scope of that when we played it felt grand. It felt like, wow, this is, it's been a while since we played in a universe this big that had so much passion and lore behind it. And I felt like they did it justice. Like, the world mm-hmm. building was great. The sets were epic. And so to have it be so bad in relation to that, that it, you feel like these are new issues, but with an engine that was already tested, feels weird and feels like a gap. And the other thing that just, I can't make any sense of it other than just poor decision-making on where extra passes of testing or effort were put into was how you mentioned the hub world. You know, it's like, there's so many places you go to in this game that are just amazing. Like, the scale of the environments are insane.
Yeah.
They look beautiful. And there's mm-hmm. volumetric fog and lighting everywhere and water effects. And it's just nuts. And then you like look down at the ground and the jaggies generated from your lightsaber on the ground right below your feet looks like it's from 1980s. I mean, it looks like I'm playing Minecraft. And then you get into the hub world where there's more buildings and more people around, but the scale of it is way tighter. There's no long horizon. There's mountains everywhere. They could have scoped all that stuff down. And you spend 2 seconds in that hub world, which you have to go to every time between every mission. And it just slows down to a grind. And you can barely walk around without seeing shit all over the place. I'm like, dude, how? Like, how did you let this slide at all?
My favorite part is there's a central cantina. And keep in mind, Jedi Survivor has been around in the time when SSD loading is actually very commonplace, you know, and is very prominent in console games. It's why Spider-Man 2, although we haven't talked about it, like, has one of the coolest like map traveling systems forever, where you literally just push a button and you fast travel to that point in the fucking map. Like, there's
mid-movement.
And, you know, these are old engines. Like, I get that these are probably, this is like a Titanfall 2 engine or something, or it might be Unreal 4, but it's like when you're running an SSD and you have 64 gigabytes of memory, and in my case, 24 gigabytes of video memory, which is just an astounding amount, and an SSD that is an M2 like Ultra, like a PCIe 4, it should not have popping when you enter an indoor corridor to load a cantina, which you have to go to all the time. But literally, yeah, sometimes I would walk in through this door and no geometry would be rendered. Yeah. I would just see like the outside stuff that I was just on. It would just be no geometry. And then I had to wait like 30 seconds for the door to open to this cantina with the people in it. So it's like, I don't know if they were just like in a cross-generational thing, like they just had to do too many different systems. I think they just released the PS4 version like last year. And to be honest, Matt, there were so many technical flaws. I was surprised you went through with it. Like, yeah, usually in this case,
I almost didn't.
Usually in this case, like the reason we're reviewing this, because I wasn't really going to play it until they fixed all the problems, and they haven't. And I don't think they will. Usually in this case, Matt would just stop. You would just stop. So why didn't you stop?
I have no idea.
It was so long ago. Was it just a dark time in your life? You're just like, oh, I just had to keep going on something.
I mean, if I recall anything correctly, I think, you know, at one point this was further up our list. We try not to be too strict, but we do have a light schedule that we try and stick to because we're grown adults and, you know, we have stuff to do. And so aligning the games that will like land on at the same time is helpful for getting podcasts out. And I think this was higher up the list. And I felt like based on the first one and how excited we were, you know, we would play it. And I also remember starting it and stopping it. So I started it. It was literally unplayable. Like I couldn't even play it. There were so many issues with it. The games would crash, saved games were getting deleted. I mean, it was brutal. And so that's why I think I ended up waiting until late summer or fall. There was like one or two patches that had come out and then started it. I don't know. I think it was one of those things where I felt like because of our affinity for the first one, I felt like it was important. Great. It was important for us to show any contrast opinions that we had in case anyone else played it and also liked it like we did. And, I just felt like whatever, I've got to at least try to get through it at this point. I also, once I gave up on the performance, I actually did something, which I don't know if you did this yourself, but I read a bunch of, online Reddit threads and stuff of people who were trying to hack the performance by finding out what it was that did it. And for me, one thing was some aspect of the lighting quality. And since I was already having issues with what I had just described, like lightsaber lights casting Minecraft pixels down at my feet, I disabled a bunch of the stuff and turned it into a medium performance game that looked worse than the original, but it was at least playable then. So once I acclimated to the lack of what I thought should be in the game and just was like, well, let me just treat this like a game that came out years ago. It was easier. And that's how I made it through. It was actually dumbing the game down quite significantly.
So you sent me those tweaks and they did not do anything for me at all.
Oh, because everyone's different. Yeah. That was the thing, is that like you had to read these things, trial and error, load the game, see if it, and you know what the test was? Go to the hub world. So like, go to the hub world, spin around in 360, come in and out of the cantina. Does your game crash?
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the systems in the game. I think the combat, in this game is interesting. It's like a Dark Souls. It's Dark Souls-esque. It certainly can be that difficult. It generally involves lightsabers. And in this game, so initially I played at the hardest level because I want to play the Dark Souls version of the game. And actually last night I went down to the story level to finish the game one. And after going through everything I needed to do to finish the game, I was like, this would have taken me another 10 hours to get to where I needed to. Like, and I think that is because this game rewards block, like parrying more than like disproportionately to all the other tools it gives you. It gives you way too many tools, and it gives you too little benefits and too little experience to grow them as you need to in time. Like, you essentially get to pick a sword, and if you pick wrong about the swords that you like based on all the things you experience, when I say sword, it's a lightsaber. You have lightsaber stances, and you can only equip two stances. You can't have all four fucking stances for some reason. For like strategy, but it feels like really forced strategy. It's so stupid. And I mean, just have me push like left and I'll just keep going through the damn stances. Jesus. Like,
it's probably because having three stances crashed the game.
Probably. And generally what it came down to at the hardest level is you just had to learn how to parry or else you would die and dodge occasionally when they turned red. And there was no way to override that red like a lot of really good games do, where they're just like, you power up enough where you can just suddenly deflect it. They're just like, nope, this is a constant now. Yep. The bosses are all pretty much kind of the same problem most of the time. They're just like, they're sort of, the patterns are very similar. Although it's hard to, you know, I don't know. Well, mostly because you fight the same boss three times.
You do.
If you're going through the story
like, twice. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's not really, I don't know. Like, I liked that they have different stances. One is regular lightsaber, which you used to. One is the double, which is like the Darth Maul. And then one is like two lightsabers, which is dope. And one is like a broadsword lightsaber, like a Kylo Ren thing. And I typically.
One's a gun.
Oh, yeah, there's that one, too. Did you use that at all?
Hell no, I didn't use the gun. It's a Star Wars game.
They give you the gun, and they're just like, it's just like the lamest thing. I always wonder about those.
I'm not Han Solo, dude. I'm a Jedi.
I always wonder about those if you, like, power them up, if they become the best weapon in the game. That's what I always think when they do. But it turns out it's just a turd. I powered the broadsword quite a bit. I really liked it. It was slower. But I found the combat frustrating. I never felt like it's fine if someone can like 1-2 punch you, but it felt like a RNG game more than it did like a skill game, right? Like, it's like the move sets that they use, because they can move so fast and you'd have to have been so powered up that you'd have to have done a ton of random side quests, some of which include unbeatable bosses at this point in the game. It's just like, the combat was enjoyable, but not great. I would put it there. Like, and like, you essentially just pick your lightsaber and you stick to it and you hope for the best, because you have no idea after investing in points if this is going to get you through the game. Like, there's no way to see what's coming next. And there's way too many skills in this game, and they do add way too little value, and you level up way too slowly.
You do.
Even if you complete side quests.
I also disliked the combat, but I'm not sure if it's because of this necessarily the skill or the actual dynamics you're referring to, which I'm hearing you say it and I'm like, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Or if it's because, to your point, this style of game where there's so much sort of like lore behind the decisions that you're making. Mm-hmm. I think add weight to these types of decisions, you know, like the fact that you can say, you know, a double lightsaber, kind of like Darth Maul. And then if no one knew what you were talking about, but then you mentioned Darth Maul, everyone's like, oh, that lightsaber, right? Like,
yeah,
there are memories and things tied to them. And so I wanted to go in and play based on a little bit based on aesthetics, you know, like, don't show me a lightsaber that comes into two pieces that I can dual wield and then make that worse at blocking, you know, droid blasts than the one that I'm holding together. It's literally the same thing. And yet, if you wanted to deflect at all, you needed the Darth Maul one. It was the only one that was really good at deflecting.
Worse at blocking droid blasts, and they're just about to throw droids at you, and you don't know that because you don't know the fucking future. And so you pick two lightsaber stances that are unhelpful in a given situation because the shield gun guys are there who respond to the Darth Maul saber better than anyone.
Yeah.
Which is shitty. Yeah. Like, it's just a shitty experience. Like, you know, the best games, like RPGs, do this all the time. The best ones, like, your spec sheet can get you through the area. Yeah. No matter what it is, generally you can like you, there are some where you have to respec or rethink something, but in general, like, you know, your spec sheet, there's a way through. And it's in, if you're going to offer those kind of alternatives with different styles, you need to make a way through. Like, it can't just be like the strategy is guessing which stance you need, because that's not fun. That's not fun at all. Like,
you know me, like, as far as my sort of opinions on, I guess, slowing down a mechanic artificially just to for realism's sake. You know, the broadsword thing I thought was just weird, you know, cause it's like, I've levied tons of criticism at my, you know, how I can't really engage with the Dark Souls thing, but at least I feel like that's cause I'm an odd man out, right? Like when I play it, I get what they're doing. Like there's an actual meaning behind it. My lightsaber did get any heavier. Like it's the same thing. It didn't change in any way. There's no extra light in the saber. It doesn't make any sense as to why it would be slow and methodical. And typically I would avoid that style of mechanic just because it's slow. But to the other point that you made, once you realize that so much of this game comes down to waiting until there's a blockable attack and blocking it so that you can destroy the boss, that's the best one at blocking. And apparently, like it generates the most confusion or whatever for the enemies. And so I was just like, okay, so I'll have one that's fast and blocks for the stuff that comes at me, and this big heavy broadsword one that isn't as fun to play as the other ones, but at least I can block a boss and kill him with one shot.
Yeah. Another thing that this game has is a perk system. And so essentially a perk system where you select the medals that you want, like the different features. Well, here's the problem with the perk system. It's actually very hard to find the perks because the map is terrible. The side quests are unclear, and where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do comes through conversation, which is great. But then you have to go back to the cantina, which takes forever to load in, and then get on the
Mantis. Start avoiding the cantina.
And then like you get on the Mantis, and the Mantis takes forever now too. And like, it just like, Mantis is the ship, the spaceship in the Star Wars.
I don't remember the perks. What were the perks?
Well, there were things like gain more experience. It's like you spend perk points to like equip these medallions, and they're hard to find, and you can only equip them at the prayer or the bonfires if you want to use dark fires, Dark Souls parlance. But the funniest part is like the perks also had negative attributes most of the time. So it was just like, fucking annoying. It's like they weren't really perks. They were sort of like balancing like things. And like,
if you
they
equip were also a beard, hard the to hair find. Falls out.
And you couldn't like there wasn't like set missions didn't have set rewards, right? It like surprised you with a thing. And then you're just like, oh, there's a meditation thing that I can get a skill point from. Is it a skill point? Does it increase my, you know, energy? Who fucking knows? It was just so. And then like when you have force powers, which you're a Jedi, they're completely ineffective. Like once you're in like a boss fight, like all the bosses can block them. You can use them occasionally, like in smart ways. Like if someone's spinning a lightsaber around themselves, you can like use force push to push it back on them and get something for that. But like, it was very, I don't know, it was nonsensical. I hated the perk system. I hated the customization system. I hated the stance system. I thought the combat got pretty repetitive and then got even worse as you're just like getting waves of this repetitive combat. I liked the slicing system where you could take over robots. That was fun.
Yeah, that was cool.
I hated the map and the map frustrated me so much. It's not a good map. It's very unclear if someplace you've accessed
before. Above or below you.
One. Two, if it's above or below you. Three, you look at the map. You see a spot. It's like now traversable. It's green. You don't know if you've traversed there. That's fine. Okay, maybe I just unlocked something and I don't know if I've been there. You open the fast travel and none of those things appear on the map.
Right.
Like none of the greens, none of the spaces that you want, only fast travel points. So then you have to go back to the other map and put a beacon where the thing is that you want is. And then you have 7,000 beacons on your map. It's just so inefficient. And
what does this beacon do?
Yeah. And then like sometimes you just accidentally push beacons because the map is so mismanageable. It looks good too when it looks good. That's the other, like, not the map, the game. It's just so frustrating that there was a lot of really cool things, like, to the degree that I even like how they do the sort of hub world, like the larger, like God of War did, like the larger planets, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily open world, but it is kind of, and you're just like, I'm going to do a bunch of shit here that's really cool, but it's very hard to figure out what the fuck to do and where to go. It's just such a mess. This game is such a mess, Matt, and I'm disappointed in it.
I feel you, man. I can't even imagine. I mean, I'm sure you can't imagine what it was like to play all the way through this game 2 years ago before the issues you encountered. I can't imagine the opposite, which is waiting 2 years, then finally diving into this game and seeing all the things we're talking about that are potential. And just how much of it is just absolutely ruined. Like, they turned so much good, promising stuff within a world that we both love and have an affinity for. And they just turn it to absolute garbage. Like, it's just a trash game in the end. And that feels really bad to say, because there's so much good stuff in here and none of it is worth the sum of any of its parts. It's just a pain in the ass to play and very difficult to enjoy along the way.
Which, I hope one day this gets like a remastered version, which it likely will, because this will be a part of a trilogy, right? Like, they set up a sequel in the game pretty much at the end. And another hub world, which is funny, with like the lamest villain of all time and the lamest motivations. I don't want to get started about the like fucking Bode. And the dad tropes. Dad's like doing it for his father.
We didn't even talk about all the just like so like the story as far as like,
I hated that voice actor too. I did not like Bode's
voice
actor.
Was brutal. Just brutal. It's like, where did this like surfer guy come from? He's just so annoying. Yeah. Well, we don't have time to get into that.
We're at the end here, but I do want to say, like, if you're gonna do a father protect their daughter trope, then living is likely what a father would want to do to protect their daughter.
Typically.
Two, even if he was like consumed by the dark side, the narrative arc of him relinquishing that for his daughter is more powerful than him just being a villain because you need one.
Yeah.
Stupid. Also, just don't throw in Darth Vader just because you can throw in Darth Vader.
Especially don't throw in Darth Vader right as you're just getting irritated with the game, so that you go, oh, all right, here we go. This is going to be I can't do anything. This fight is boring and my powers don't matter. Great. Thanks for throwing Darth Vader in there.
Fucking stop throwing in Darth Vader. Just stop. Just everyone stop throwing in Darth Vader. Like, stop. Just stop doing it. That's just all I want for Star Wars. That's going to be the description of this game. It's going to be like, please stop throwing in Darth Vader.
I just made a note right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that being said, this is a not recommend from us. A very rare not recommend from us.
It's a strong not recommend.
Which is really rare, especially consider how much we love the first one, which you can read. We can listen to on this
and this and like I said, podcast. And the subject matter. How many good aspects there are in this game. Again, I don't think there's any
like
truly
a sorcerer
great,
with a laser sword.
I know,
always
so
going to be
stupid.
Cool. It's so dumb.
How do you
ruin? It's so dumb. How do you release this?
Like, that's it's a lesson thing. How not to do a game, when not to release it. And also hey, sometimes you got to learn the lesson of if you didn't do a good enough thing or the thing's not right, like, oh, well, move on to something else. Like, throw it in the garbage. Don't ruin the thing, right? Just move on to the next thing. Yeah. That's what they should have done. At some point, they should have said, you know what? This isn't going to cut it. Let's just cut our losses and build a new engine or do something. Just not release this game out there and tarnish all of the, you know, love that we just built up in the previous game.
The first game was such a huge hit and a surprise huge hit. You should take the time to make sure it runs on PC.
Just basic stuff, dude.
I think everyone's learning now based on Monster Hunter Wilds just sold the majority of their stuff on PC, and it was terribly unoptimized. So maybe either we just eat shit as PC players constantly, which we do, or maybe someone's like, hey, maybe PC might actually be the future of these games. Like, maybe just like digital ownership, all this stuff. Anyway, we have to stop or else we're going to keep going. Anyway, don't buy this game. that's this episode.
Yay.
Like and subscribe. Smash that like button. For the Chips and Bits podcast, I'm Kenny Myers, and with me as always and inevitably,
don't buy this game.
Yeah, my best friend, don't buy this game. Thanks for listening.